It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for the Falcons Report.
Whoa.
Casey got another pick. Here's Julio down the far sideline and will score. Sacked. Brady Jarrett got another one.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
Happy Friday. We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man.
It is good to have you guys out here. Charles is enjoying a Hey Man Ale. Finally got a chance to try one. And then he dropped these delicious stogies on us. I can't wait to get done, Mike Bell. I'll tell you what, lots of stuff going on in and around the NFL, guys. We'll get to in our strong arm story of the day in about 20 minutes as we break down these matchups coming up. But as we get to the Falcons, today we had a chance to hear from Thomas Dimitroff. He came on the radio station, 92.9 The Game. He was asked a variety of things, and, you know, we've been trying to decipher all this stuff. What's the thing that stood out to you and that you take from the Thomas Dimitroff interview?
Well, I mean, guys, we know that this was addressed in the press conference, but he expanded on it. We don't really – and his words trying to, like, read between the lines. We don't have a lot of money. Julio has to get the bump as promised. And you've got to pay for Grady Jarrett. We don't want to lose Grady. You know he does a great job in Dan Quinn's defense. But how do you come up with the money for two starting guards and a tackle? And Thomas basically in the interview, amongst other things, said there's going to be different tiers of free agency. Remember last year? We saw guys get Alex Mack money to play guard.
That's right.
And we're not going to be able to compete with that. We're not going to be able to pay for one of the top two or three free agent guards or even tackles this offseason.
So how do we do it? How do we maneuver? And that's something Thomas has got to figure out along with the front office. But, you know, he talked about moving on from Sark, and I want you to hear this. The entire interview, by the way, is on the website at 929thegame.com. But Thomas Dimitroff asked about how difficult was it moving on from Steve Sarkisian and then going with Dirk Cutter.
Sark's a good football man and a creative guy, and he worked really hard and well with our group, and Matt and Julio and the crew, you know, responded well to him. I think any time that you have a head coach looking at, you know, the entire package and the entire staff, that's never easy to lose someone. But I know that Dan and our organization did what we thought was the best for the entire group moving forward, meaning that, you know, you have a new and very veteran offensive coordinator coming in here, and that person in Dirk Cutter is going to be really good for this offense. Keeping it focused, keeping it disciplined and accountable. I think that's what the offense needs to continue to be prolific.
So, listen, I don't think, Mike, that it was that difficult of a decision to move on from Sark. This has nothing to do with the job he did. Sark was not entrenched here with the Falcons. He's not a 10-year coordinator. He didn't win a Super Bowl with us. This was a guy that was still, you know, really being assessed and judged by what kind of coordinator ultimately we thought he might be. I don't think this was difficult, but I will say this. Today we find out, and we said this about 15 minutes ago, so we need to pay this off, because we were sitting here at Twin Peaks, and we get word from Adam Schefter that Gary Kubiak will not be Denver's offensive coordinator. We're not sure what happened, but he reports that Kubiak and John Elway, after lengthy discussions on staffing and offensive philosophies, that they're going in a different direction. So I can't have buyer's remorse, but what I will tell you is that if this would have happened a week or so ago, do the Falcons go a different way?
I mean, Gary Kubiak, it's not like there's a salary cap for offensive coordinators. If Arthur wants to pay to go get him, we go get him. But Gary Kubiak, now we find out, and I don't know how this got sideways, him and John Elway are like buddy-buddy. Everything seemed like a perfect fit there. He had signed off earlier on Case Keenum when he was a consultant for the Broncos. But here's the thing. I like Dirk Cutter. Dirk Cutter gets along with Matt Ryan. What Falcon fan, if we're going to continue to run Kyle Shanahan's offense, wouldn't want Gary Kubiak, who Kyle Shanahan learned the offense from?
That's right.
But here's the thing. Are we going to run an, I guess, power slash zone blocking scheme inside outside? I mean, we don't know what our offensive line is going to look like because we don't even know who our offensive line is. We got to replace three guys. Dan Quinn's words, not mine. But what do you think? Would you want to go back and get Kubiak now?
Well, you know, like I just said, you can't have buyer's remorse. Here's what I know. When guys are available, all right, it's like when you go to the store and you're looking for something and you would hope that whatever you dreamed about them having, and I'm using, you could just pick any item, and it's out of stock. They don't have it. So you've got to buy at the time what they have, okay? Now, it's not terrible. It's not a bad decision. It's, at, in fact, a really good decision. But if you could dream about that other item, if they had it in stock, you'd go get it right now. Instead, you got to go with this. That's what the Falcons did. Right now, this is the plan. This is what they wanted. I think, personally, though, if this happened a week ago and they knew that there was a real possibility of getting him, that maybe they would have waited, Mike. I think once they got shut down, like other teams,
right,
he can't talk to anybody.
No, I mean, we're having,
then that's what it was.
We're having fun with this because Gary Kubiak, again, provided we were going to continue to run the offense as it was constructed in 15-16 in the last two seasons, that's the guy you'd want to go run it. But you had to move on. It sounded like it was ironclad with him in Denver. We've got Dirk Koetter, Mike Mularkey. Now, Koetter, the vertical passing game remains. If anything, it'll help improve Calvin Ridley, Sanu, and Julio. Got to get the offensive line, though. No matter who we're talking about, as intriguing as Kubiak was a week ago, I hate to bring this back for the third time in a row, but we don't know how we're going to be able to function as an O-line. I just heard Thomas Dimitroff tell our morning show, quite honestly, we don't have the big money to be going after the elite talent that's going to be out there in free agency. So I'm not as hung up on this, but it is interesting because a lot of Falcon fans said, go get Kubiak. That makes the most sense.
What do you think? 404-741-0929. Some people saying, oh, John Elway knew what he was doing. Guys, sometimes these kind of things happen. There are disagreements. And, you know, for Gary Kubiak, here's the point. He's at a point in his career, Mike, he doesn't have to back down. You know, he's been to seven Super Bowls, including three of those with Elway. He's won four, okay? He doesn't have to do a damn thing. So it's one of those things with Kubiak, and this is kind of the text where we went back and forth. All right, I'm going to come back, but it's going to be the right situation. That's why I knew he wasn't locked into being in Denver when I said what I said a week ago or so on this show. But I didn't think this would play out the way it did. Either way, that's the news today, and now we are set. And here Gary Kubiak is, if he still wants to do something, which I think he does, probably will end up somewhere else.
Interesting. Because, well, first off, it's got to fit. You know, schematically, it's got to fit. We were told by you, by John McClain from the Houston Chronicle, who knows Kubiak well, that he was really enamored with staying in Denver, how much he loves the, you know, the family's already entrenched there in the Colorado area, et cetera. It's interesting because a lot of Falcon fans are hitting us up on the text line, on Twitter. He's put him up, see Dukes. I'm Mike Bell, ATL. And the listeners are going bananas on this, going, wait a minute. Well, here's the thing. All you can do, just like when we get a story like yesterday with that Eddie Grant thing from Kentucky, all you can do is go with the information you have as it's presented, as it's available. Well, a week ago, we thought Kubiak was untouchable. Now he's out there. But here's the thing. We don't know if he really even wants to come to Atlanta or would have wanted to come to Atlanta.
Yeah, listen, I think he would have.
So let it go. It's fun to talk about and chop up.
Can't have buyer's remorse.
As they said in Hoosiers, our team is on the field. We got a guy in Mike Mularkey who will help to beef up the O-line. He's always had great physical offensive lines. And Koetter, we've had good success with certainly with the wide receivers now. Arguably the most talented offensive pieces that Dirk Cutter's ever had, provided Free comes back 100% healthy.
Yeah, I think he would have spoke with us. I don't know if he took the job. And all I wanted was him to be able to talk to us. That's all I wanted. It is Dukes and Bell. It's our Falcon Report. It's brought to you by our friends at Domino's each and every day.
Yeah, man, right now, guys, over the weekend, you got football on Saturday and Sunday with the playoffs. Go make it a Domino's party, a medium pan pizza, the great taste of that deep dish pizza. Three toppings on the medium for $7.99. Carry out only, guys, and there's other deals at carryout when you go to Domino's.com.
This takes us to another Thomas Dimitroff soundbite, which happened here on 92.9 The Game today. Speaking of veteran coordinators, he was asked about that. Why did you go with veteran coordinators?
This organization has a lot of energy. Obviously, Dan sets the tone with the way that he is as far as being passionate and fiery about this, you know, game in general. The addition of veteran coaches with a very, you know, upbeat group of football players and coaches, again, is a really good balance.
So, again, we've discussed this, guys. You kind of know where we are. With this discussion as far as why make the decision to go this route, it makes sense. You went from one guy who never called plays in the NFL to two guys who have a plethora of experience and you know, 60 years between them of being around the NFL and calling plays. So I have no problems with getting experience, but it's got to work.
You know, right now, guys, as far as the calendar plays out, once we see who wins the Super Bowl, and hopefully it's not New Orleans in our building, that's been a topic of discussion here at Twin Peaks and Buckhead this afternoon. And then we eventually find out where we're going to go in free agency. And then from that, the draft. And there's a lot of talent, Carl, a lot of good offensive linemen, certainly some quality defensive linemen. It's a great defensive draft. This is going to be a tough one. And what is Dan Quinn's priority? I mean, I don't think Dan Quinn is naive enough to know, or not to know, that he's got to protect Matt Ryan. He's got to be able to run the football. You've got, as tempting as some of these big defensive pieces might be, and this gets us back to the old Gurley versus Vic Beasley conversation in 15.
Yeah.
Do you not have to go high offensive line at some point? Because you're not going to be able to pick up three quality guys through free agency.
No.
Maybe two.
Two, potentially. And the other part that we don't know is what guy potentially comes back and they think can help our football team. For example, Fusco. I don't know what you think of him, but the fact is they did go out and sign him in free agency. If he can come back and help you off the injury, then, you know, you maybe think differently about this. I just put this out there this morning because, you know, everybody talks about our line and where we're at, and there's no doubt we've got to get better. But the Cowboys have a patchwork line as well. And with all the draft picks and things that they've done, you know, Connor Williams is an undersized rookie left guard. Their left tackle is a guy that's had health issues in Tyron Smith. He's been an all-pro, but his effectiveness has been lackluster.
He was the one that was out the game we played last year, yep, when Babineau had that monster night.
Injury plague. They are average at right tackle with the guy that Mike and I know in Lael Collins, okay? Their center is an all-pro like our guy in Alex Mack and Zach Martin. They got a backup at the other spot in Joe Looney. They're not great.
But they're effective.
And that's the point. You don't have all pros across the line, but they're running the ball with Zeke. They're protecting. And I just put that out there because we're not going to have studs at every position. So this is, again, where's your scouting team? Where do you value guys as far as, you know, drafting them comes into play with our Falcons? Speaking of this, Thomas asked or answered this question this morning when asked about it, need versus the best player in the draft.
You know, our philosophy here has and will continue to be based off of need. Last year, we had a lot of focus on offensive line going into the draft. There was a run on offensive linemen early, and then we were very fortunate to be staring down the barrel of a guy like Calvin Ridley, and we made that move. Our focus will be on both sides of big and strong inside.
But this goes back to the evaluation process that I, you know, when I talk about our personnel department, we will trade up for a wide receiver, Julio, obviously, and that speaks for itself. But we'll also trade up for a guy like Desmond Trufant, but we won't trade up for an offensive lineman.
Yeah.
Are we gun-shy? Do we not have the depth of scouting on it? I don't know. But, I mean, you knew we needed that, and I think a lot of people, as great as, and we're excited about Calvin Ridley, because, look, I don't want to not have Calvin Ridley either, but I thought in the first three picks I had to go get a stud offensive lineman. That never happened.
I would only trade up, and this is just me, Mike, and I think the Falcons think this way too, but if you're talking about a transcendent offensive lineman, okay, a guy that is projected to be, you know, that has the talent to be a guy that's going to be around, first of all, longevity, but just the skill set, if you want that kind of guy, that's the only kind of guy I would trade up for. There are a bunch of average linemen that are out there, and we talked about this, that are getting paid star money, but they're average with their performance. And I think that's what you're trying to balance. I don't know if we're gun-shy, but we're going to find out a lot about this organization this spring because it's a definite need. It's been one.
Well, the template last year, guys, look what the Colts did. We talked about it. They go first round and they go late second round, and they find two starting offensive linemen. One becomes a Pro Bowler. One's an alternate. That's impressive. I mean, that's a scouting service doing their due diligence in that, you know, in the Colts building. Can we do that here at Flowery Branch? We're going to find out. By the way, Brandon Fusco, I looked it up. He'll be 31 by the time the season starts next year.
All these guys are 30 outside of our left tackle for the most part. Real quick, Jonathan Walker, follower on Twitter. We invite you to follow us across all social media platforms. It is 92.9 The Game. Facebook, of course, you can like the station. Instagram, Mike Bell, ATL on Twitter, and I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes. I wish I could read the first line, but basically says, Dukes and Bell, I don't give a boop. Call Kubiak anyway. Let him be a consultant. It can't hurt.
Well, you know what, guys? If you win the $1,000, you can loan it to the Falcons and go get Kubiak. Let's give away some money with the National Signing Bonus Contest.
Now it's time to reveal our National Signing Bonus code word. The code word is...
The code word is relax. R-E-L-A-X.
Relax.
You know who said that? Aaron
Billy
Rogers.
Knight. Well, Billy Knight said it too here in Atlanta. Relax. Yeah. Hey, man, 72881.
And then he blew it.
Text. He blew everything. Text relax other than Al Horford. Relax goes to 72881 for your shot at $1,000. We'll give you another shot coming up at the 6, but right now, relax. Get on your phone. Our man down here is texting. He knows what $1,000 looks like, or at least he wants a shot at it.
Who do you like this weekend? It's the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. We'll break it down next. Live at Twin Peaks. It's been a fun show, man. Appreciate everybody coming by, saying hey, man, and introducing themselves. We appreciate each and every one of you guys. Without you, there is no us. Coming up, guys, we'll talk to Mike Conte. We got top three at six, a bunch of stories happening. The Gary Kubiak thing is interesting. He is not going to be the OC there in Denver now after disagreements, apparently, on philosophy, which is interesting, right?
How does that happen? Apparently, Elway was not allowing him to but we're just reading the same things you guys are reading online, but Pro Football Talk saying that not allowing him to sign the assistants he wanted. How does that happen? I mean, everybody thought this was the really perfect marriage. Fangio on the defensive side, Kubiak doing what he does best, bringing Denver another championship. He believes in Keenum, thinks he can get the most out of him. I mean, with all due respect to John Elway, other than, you know, drafting Von Miller, picking up DeMarcus Ware, and getting Peyton, it's been a bit of a mess the last 4 years. Can't get the quarterback thing right.
Yeah.
And now this thing is somehow wriggled off the line after it sounded like he had it in the boat. Either way, hey, I got a quick question for you before we get to our big story today here as we're live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. One of our listeners hit us up earlier. It is Jet Life. And he said, hey, man, what do you guys think about these mock drafts that have the Falcons taking DeAndre Baker, and or what if DeAndre Baker out of Georgia, considered the one or the number two, you know, shutdown corner, was available, knowing how we've struggled of late with Alford and Trufant, despite the fact we picked up Isaiah Oliver in last year's draft in the second round?
Guys, you know my philosophy. If you don't, let me explain it to you. It's very easy. You can never have enough cover corners in the National Football League, period. It's like you can't have enough great arms coming out of the bullpen in Major League Baseball, okay? You just can't. This is a throwing league. Teams want to do exactly what we're doing to teams. They want to spread you out with Julio, right. Snoo, Ridley. And the idea is, well, we're going to find a mismatch. At some point, we're going to find a guy that can't cover one of our guys, and you're going to put a number three guy on our number one. And we're going to mismatch. We're going to use you. I don't think that you could pass that up, Mike. If that fell into our lap, and I know people are going, wait a minute, we have all these other things. If you're telling me DeAndre Baker is the number one corner coming out, you draft him.
And he was there where the Falcons are supposed to be picking at 14. Real quick, though, this gets us back, that argument going all the way back to the 15 draft, where we had a clear need, a clear and present need, which was pass rush. And all the numbers, and that's why, as much as I've said, look, let's move on from Vic Beasley, you and I were lobbying for Vic Beasley because he had ridiculous sack numbers. His tackle for loss numbers at Clemson were off the chain. Looked like an elite athlete with a tremendous speed off the edge. And unfortunately, it hasn't panned out. We thought he'd be like an even speedier version of Bruce Irvin. Unfortunately, you go back and you look at it, it's the greatest no-brainer of all time. You pick up Todd Gurley, and who knows what Todd Gurley would have been behind this offensive line. But that's where everyone looks and says, you've got to go best athlete over the need. Dimitroff talking to the morning show, talking about the need does kind of, in this case, you can't do it all through the draft on offensive line. Unlike the NBA, at least we'll know what we've got through free agency because you do that before the draft.
We didn't go need last year, and look how it turned out. I mean, Calvin Ridley wasn't a need.
You went best athlete. You went best athlete, fell
right.
To you. DJ Moore wasn't anything at all for Carolina. We just spoke with Calvin Ridley. The interview, you'll hear it again, guys, coming up about a little bit after 6 after we reset the headlines.
All right, guys, let's get to the John Foy strong arm story of the day.
The strong arm story of the day is brought to you by John Foy and Associates Personal Injury Law.
It is the NFL divisional round this weekend. Let's break down some of these games, all of them, as a matter of fact. Colts versus Chiefs, that's Saturday, guys. I want you to hear first Andrew Luck talking about, well, you know what, it's been a while since we've been here in the playoffs.
We're in the same mode we've been in for a while. One, today it's about improving. It's about being 1% better, 1% better, 1% better. And the goal at the end of the week is be 1-0. And you've heard us say that before, and we've lived it, and maybe there's a little more chatter outside, but that doesn't affect how we prepare. It doesn't affect, you know, what we do, how we operate. And so the focus has been great so far, and will continue to be that way.
I like the Colts. Marlon Mack is a beast. I think they'll be able to run the football, get a lead, potentially control the clock. Now, we could be looking at a shootout. If that's the case, I still think the Colts can hang. Mike, the Colts defense, I think it is one that people look at and they kind of go, they're really good.
No, if you're not watching the Colts, guys, remember they started 1-5 and they finished 9-1. So these guys, unbelievable. Now, you know, if you go look at it, 9 of their last 10, now 10 of their last 11 with a playoff win, where they completely stymied the Texans. They weren't even a factor in that game. Indy, 16th in the league in yards allowed, but they are tied for third in passing touchdowns allowed. They've only allowed 21 touchdowns through the air. You know, Mahomes is the definition of the explosive play. They're going to try to get it to Kelsey. They're going to try to get it, obviously, to Tyreek Hill. But I got to be honest with you. I don't think the Chiefs can stop the Colts on defense. I think the Colts are going to be able to run, be able to throw. And I know that Andy Reid, we're not even discounting the X factor that the great Kool-Aid man's going to do something crazy and do something outside the box. It really kills them to lose Kareem Hunt. If they had Kareem Hunt and he'd get jacked up in the suspension over the shenanigans in the hotel, completely different ballgame.
It might be. I don't disagree with you about them being able to do what they want to do against the Chiefs. Here's the deal, though.
You're going to bet the Colts? I put a gun to your head. Who you betting on?
Oh, I got the Colts. I'm telling you. 5.5. It's not even about the point spread. I just think they're playing their best football, and they impressed me last week. The Texans' defense got embarrassed, and they ran the ball down their throat.
They lay a hand on Andrew Luck the whole game?
Not one sack. And more importantly, Mike, when the game was you know, when they needed to get a stop, the Colts just went first down, and ran the ball. They will have the potential to do that Saturday against the Chiefs. And but what I was going to say is the Chiefs get after the quarterback too. Justin Houston, D Ford, these guys, man, they do a great job of getting after the quarterback.
The Colts,
and if they can get after him,
right?
I'm talking about Andrew Luck. That could be their saving grace.
But don't you think the Texans have a better pass rush than the Chiefs?
Texans have better brand names. I don't think they have a better pass
rush.
I'm
just saying they don't let Andrew Luck get hit. They and the Saints are one of the best at protecting their quarterback. Let's go with the nightcap, brother. Dallas Cowboys, they're expecting. Now, there are some reports in Dallas, whether that's exaggerated. They think it might be 20,000 Cowboy fans in the L.A. Coliseum.
Yeah, I want you to hear from Dak Prescott talking about there's no pressure on him or the Cowboys.
Just honestly, just focus. I mean, not really different. Not really different. And I credit this team, this organization, the coaches, obviously, for just making that be the point. This is another game, as I continue to say, is way back when we're 3-5 and our backs are against the wall. This is the same thing. Our backs are against the wall. We've got to go win a game, a very important game, and we're excited for our chance to go do that.
Now, before you go, yeah, you know what, Cowboys, slow your roll. Listen to Georgia's own Todd Gurley.
I mean, basically everybody I know hate the Cowboys, so they've been just hitting me up all week. So I got to try to take care of business for those guys. But no personal history. Everyone in the world knows, you know, that's America's team, and, you know, it's a primetime game playoff. So what better, you know, playoff game in L.A. versus America's team, you know. So definitely looking forward to it. It's going to be a great matchup.
All right, man, we love Todd Gurley, but here's the thing. If you could take Todd Gurley away the way we did in the playoff win last year in L.A., different team, more experience now. But if you take Gurley away, McVay gets a little, well, twitchy with his quarterback, and so does Goff.
Yeah, Gurley, what helped us last year, and this is going to be the case, you know, with the Cowboys, can you make those open field tackles? Are you able in space to make the plays on Gurley and then put extra pressure on Goff? Gurley is such a big part of their offense. Probably, Mike, I would tell you 65 to 70% of what they do is about Todd Gurley. So I think that is the number one key. But here's the irony. That's what the Rams have to do. Because if you take Zeke out of the Cowboys mix, it changes the whole dynamic of their game plan and what Dak can do as well.
I mean, you got Cooper, and certainly the Rams have got a few more weapons despite the injuries to the wide receiver core late in the season. Jalen Smith and Leighton Van Der Esch. They got two young stud linebackers that go sideline to sideline. They can maybe do some of the things you just talked about to Todd Gurley that we did, and certainly that Debo did in the open field. And truth be told, good job by the corners in that game as well, making hits. Keanu Neal also at safety. I'm excited. Can't wait to see this game. Dallas, by the way, if it matters to you, Carl, 16th in total takeaways. Rams, 3rd in total takeaways.
Yeah.
Rams are turning people over. I think Dak Prescott's still a guy that, you know, despite Cooper, do you trust him the big moments? Do you trust him to do it? Still hasn't won a playoff game.
Until
last week.
Remember I was talking about this patchwork line with the Cowboys a little bit earlier. I think Aaron Donald takes advantage of it. Here's the other part. Where's Ndamukong Suh? I mean, honestly, everybody talks about it, Aaron Donald. Ndamukong Suh, it's time for you to show up if they're going to advance.
Well, that's the guy that Adam Gase wanted to move off the Dolphins because he just thought the effort wasn't there.
We got to talk about Chargers-Patriots. I like the Chargers in this one. If you're wondering, the Cowboys-Rams game is a pick 'em for me. I really don't know which way I want to go, but the Rams are the favorite. Chargers quarterback Philip Rivers talking to the media, and here's what he had to say about Brady and Belichick.
Nah, I'm not playing Tom by any means, but is it special to go to New England against the Hall of Fame coach and arguably the best quarterback ever to play and get another shot at him? Heck yeah. Heck yeah, it is. It is special.
It's special.
Philip Rivers has done everything, Carl, but get to the Super Bowl. I mean, no one believes in the Patriots because of just how funky they've been this year. Think Sony Michel might be the guy that is the difference maker?
He might be.
I like San Diego, too, but, man, it's just so hard to bet against the Patriots at home.
Eagles, Saints, guys, we didn't hear from Drew Brees, and we will in the top three at six, but it's hard to pick against the Saints at home this weekend. It just is.
I mean, they humiliated the Eagles. They're only an 8-point favorite, but it's hard to see the Eagles going score for score.
Hey, coming up, Mike Conte. In case you missed it, we're live at Twin Peaks hanging out in Buckhead. Come through and see us. It's Dukes and Bell.
Now, your game time traffic.
I'm Will Garrett from your Game Time Traffic Center. This report brought to you by Georgia Aquarium. We're still seeing delays on the south part of town. Now, we had some earlier trouble on 285 northbound right by Interstate 20. That's been cleared. I-20 east in cab still slow moving till you get past Panola Road. Heavy delays waiting for you, though, on the perimeter 285 west from 75 over towards 85. The good news is that crash near Flat Shoals is cleared, and we are seeing some heavy delays on the downtown connector. It all begins, too, on 20 eastbound heading to the downtown connector just to get on northbound and southbound traffic over a half hour just to get down towards Interstate 20. We're also seeing slow-moving volume 20 westbound on and off the brakes as you continue out towards Douglas County. Georgia Aquarium's early bird discount makes it easy to save. Save over 20% when you visit before 11 a.m. every day with advanced booking. The early bird saves and gets to see our amazing penguins waddle through the atrium. Visit georgiaquarium.org. From the Game Time Traffic Center, I'm Will Guerra on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are live here at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Thanks, everybody, for coming out. We get to see some old friends. Our man with the tequila company stopped by earlier.
Yeah.
And our buddies with cigars. Boy, oh, boy, it's kind of like Christmas comes late for Dukes and Bell. Mike Conte, you a cigar man?
Love them.
Well, our buddy brought some really nice stogies, and we said it earlier. Thanks so much to Charles, who brought a bunch of smoke. So we got some sticks for you, Mike. We'll bring them back to the ranch
awesome.
On Monday.
I appreciate that. Thanks very much, guys. Have you ever done a junk food binge? Have you ever just binged on junk food? Like, you know, one hamburger after another, followed by a milkshake, followed by chicken fingers. Like, we even talked about chicken fingers this
week.
Have you ever done anything
like that? I
like
to do
the
mix and match. Yes, Mike, the mix and match, you know, sometimes. Or even if you do fast food and junk food.
Mix and match. I was unaware they were different, but, well, I guess some healthy fast food out there. I mean, you can get a salad at the drive-thru, right? anyhow. I bring that up because Enes Kanter, and, you know, God love him. This might have been stress eating. I don't know. He's got a lot going on right now, obviously. But Enes Kanter, the New York Knicks, posted on his Instagram page Wednesday night that he was about to have a cheat day. Okay? And it was a picture of a very, very large, almost cookie sheet of French fries and seven hamburgers.
Wow.
And, you know, look, I mean, pro athletes, they have high caloric intake because they move around a lot. They exercise a lot. I get it. The next day, Enes Kanter shows up on the Knicks injury report with an illness. With an illness.
Yes. Yeah.
Tummy ache.
Called colon blow.
Right. So now the Knicks have not confirmed what exactly the illness is, but one is to assume it might have had something to do with the fact that he slammed seven hamburgers, and that's why he did not practice Thursday. The Knicks do play tonight. I don't know if he's still on the injury report or not. But
Mikey, what's the biggest binge? Real quick, was it back at Penn State in your college days? What was the time you really just went off the reservation?
No, I'm not proud of talking about this. I look horrible now, but about a decade ago, I used to run a lot, ran a lot of marathons, and was on a really, really hardcore diet. And there would be times, like, when you don't eat a lot of sweets or sugar or carbs or something like that, there are times where you just kind of snap, and it's go time. And you have to get all the carbs you possibly can because your body's just screaming for it. And I used to live across the street from a Kroger. And I remember sitting there one night on my couch. In fact, I'll never forget, I was watching the Canucks-Bruins Stanley Cup Final. So I think that was like 2011, and something just snapped in my brain. I ran across the street to Kroger. You know how they have those Krispy Kreme end caps in Kroger? I think
yes.
I bought every single thing off that end cap and ate the heck out of all of it. I mean, it was go time. It was fruit pie after donut after chocolate donut, whatever.
The apple or cherry?
Both. Well, no, and you know, Krispy Kreme makes the chocolate fruit pies, too, which I guess technically wouldn't be a fruit pie. That'd be a pudding pie. But, yeah, it was – I mean, I'm still talking about it almost a decade later. That's how bad it was, and that's how bad it ended up.
Yeah, you know, they say the worst thing to do is go to the grocery store hungry, right?
The worst.
And the reason for that is, yeah, because you end up buying stuff you don't need,
yes.
And then you go on this junk food binge.
Remember the second blackout against Alabama? The first blackout for Georgia was good against Auburn. Johnny Plops and I coming back. We stopped at the Varsity, Carl, did two cheeseburgers, two chili dogs, fries, dropped Plops off, and I went to Krispy Kreme, and I got a dozen chocolate covered. Woke up with a donut on my chest hair on the couch.
Oh,
it was a bad day.
Bad time. There was a time I was covering a football game at Auburn, and they had a little cooler with ice cream sandwiches that was literally right behind my seat. And after about the seventh one, the Auburn SID taps me on the shoulder and goes, "Don't you think you've had enough?" So I switched. So I switched to cashews.
Wow.
Like, it just happens. You get hungry. But the difference is I'm not a professional athlete. It didn't keep me from doing my job, unlike Enes Kanter of the New York Knicks, who was unable to perform the functions of his job because he slammed seven hamburgers. It happens.
Now, I know these guys, a lot of these big guys, because Cantor's a big guy. I mean, he's a legitimate big man in the NBA. They eat a lot if you've never been around these guys.
Big dudes.
Yeah, but I think my man tapped out after he realized he was going to have a tummy ache.
Yeah.
Or he wore a diaper. Anyway, Mike Conte is, in case you missed it, back at the ranch in Midtown. What else you got?
So, you know, every year when you have these collegiate rivalry games, sometimes the fan bases like to prank each other. In fact, I think we even talked about how the Air Force Academy's ram was stolen by the Naval Academy before their game or something like that this year. Well, at UCLA, they have a statue of a Bruin on campus, okay? And it is traditional that before the USC-UCLA game, USC students or fans or whatever will go onto the UCLA campus and make an attempt to vandalize the Bruin. And UCLA has caught on to this in recent years, and they've basically packed the Bruin away in a wood crate, and they do not open the crate until the game is played. Well, two people actually somehow were able to foil the crate this year and deface the Bruin statue. They painted it in that, I don't know what USC's official color is, if it's cardinal or scarlet, I forget what they call it. But they painted USC in big red letters, $20,000 worth of damage. They caught the two guys this week, a 19-year-old and an 18-year-old. Guys, they're facing 3 years in jail.
Oh, come on.
3 years in jail is what they're looking at.
Oh, just pay it off and do some community service. That's crazy talk.
Yeah, that's a little bit much, don't you think?
Well, what are you in for? I painted the Bruins Phenobolies red and yellow.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not an officer of the court, so I don't want to speak for the zero tolerance policies that may be effect in the state of California. But because the level of damage was over $15,000, I guess it ups the charges. And you know, it sounds like a fun idea at the time, but when you pry open that wood crate and you get the paint out, bad things can happen.
Mike, remember a couple of years ago, I think it was two seasons ago, somebody tried to defile Howard's Rock up at Clemson?
Yes, it did.
Yes.
And now they've got a permanent guard on station now, 24-7.
No, I mean, it's I don't know. I mean, property damage is one thing. I think there are good-natured pranks you can have that don't damage or destroy property. In the case of Howard's Rock, I think Howard's Rock was, what, uprooted from its moorings or something? Like, the rock was actually damaged?
They tried to chip it away,
yeah. Yeah, see, now that's not cool. That's not cool.
Right.
You know, if you want to steal an animal mascot and feed it and give it water and put it in air conditioning, that's one thing. No one gets hurt. But, you know, $15,000 of damage to that Bruin statue, and you're going to the pokey for 3 years.
Man, Mike Conte, man, have a great weekend. By the way, Monday we will be out on location, guys. And just a quick update. Today, Atlanta United was involved in the international draft and obviously picked a young man. Mike Conte got a chance to visit with him. You're going to hear that interview in its entirety on Monday. But we're going to be out at the United Complex out there in Marietta on Monday. So looking forward to hearing that interview, Mike.
And looking forward to speaking with the new skipper, the new manager, Frank DeBoer, and also finding out from Darren Eales. Darren Eales, by the way, two-time now executive of the year in MLS. Mike, how was the conversation with our newest member of United?
You're going to love Anderson Asaidu. Great kid with an incredible story coming from Ghana. And like I tweeted, this feels a lot like when John Collins slipped to the Hawks. Anderson kind of slipped a little bit for reasons unknown, and Atlanta United may have made out. He was the MVP of the combine this week. So a great pick by Darren Eales and Frank DeBoer.
Before we go to break, can I talk hockey with Mike for 10 seconds?
I guess.
Mike, you see Rick Nash is stepping away. Only you understand me. 34 years of age, worried about concussion. Took the Rangers to a Stanley Cup. The former Blue Jacket going to retire. You see that?
Great career. The greatest Blue Jacket ever, for whatever that's worth.
And we're done.
Wow. All right. Conti, man, good stuff. Hey, enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you Monday out there at the complex, the training center for Atlanta United. Hey, guys, top three at 6. Calvin Ridley on the way next. Live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. It is Dukes and Bell out here having a good time, man. I appreciate all you guys stopping out here and coming by and enjoying Ice Cold Hey Man Ale.
Yeah, man. We got some ice cold brew, so enjoy it, guys. And in case you missed us here, we'll be up at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw in a couple of weeks as well. We rotate back and forth, but we're here all right off of Piedmont. So join the party. Beautiful ladies dressed as lumberjacks want to meet you.
Ladies. Hey, we got the top three at 6 coming up. Also, Calvin Ridley, who joined Mike and I a little bit earlier, talking about the changes this offseason. And he also talks about his season, 10 touchdowns, which we'll get to here in just a few minutes. Speaking of changes, a lot of stuff going on around the NFL.
You know, we talked a lot about it, a couple of stories. And if you missed it, we talked about, you know, this fixation with getting younger. You know, you and I joke around every year about all the retreads. And I understand that, you know, there's guys that have earned that respect and earned that interview. But it almost seems like it's an overreaction, like the pendulum has swung way too far the other way.
Yeah.
That everybody wants some of that Sean McVay genius juice. Now, call me crazy, McVay hasn't won anything yet. I mean, I know he's won a division title and he's gone to the playoffs, but you know what, Carl? To go with guys like the Cliff Kingsbury is the one that really makes no sense because there's no pedigree in the NFL. At least a guy like Matt LaFleur was with Kyle Shanahan here. He went to the Super Bowl as a quarterback's coach. You know, I have a hard time with all these moves. And the latest one is about the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, they can't hire him yet because the Patriots are still in the playoffs. But this is, if you want to say, bucking the trend. Here's the first one. First, he's African-American. Two, it's the Patriots linebackers coach, Brian Flores, who, or should I say he's a minority candidate, not African-American, but he is a guy that is a defensive-minded coach. He's a linebackers coach. Everybody else has been quarterbacks or offensive coordinators for the most part.
Coming off of high-flying offense.
Yes. Now, Fangio, obviously a longtime defensive guy in Denver, which – you know, that news today is kind of shocking that Kubiak is not going to be there to work with the offense. But here's the deal. This guy, Brian Flores, and I know you may or may not know who he is, 37 years old. So this gets back to your point of there's a complete shift in where guys, especially these owners, are looking to go. And now, you know, everybody believes that these front offices just make these decisions. There's not one of these hires that didn't go past one of these NFL owners.
You know, it's funny how you really – I was curious to see if somebody would try to import the Clemson model, where you've got the old-school CEO coach, like, for instance, in Miami, the Don Shula, where you've got the great offensive coordinator and you got a good defensive coordinator. You know, in the case of the Denver Broncos, we thought that was going to be a perfect fit. You mentioned Fangio. Kubiak now, for whatever reason, which makes no sense because you think he and Elway are both laughing at the same jokes and in lockstep on where this was going. Some beef about assistants and who they were going to hire. But these younger guys, how are they putting their staffs together? Who are these guys are going to roll with? I mean, Brad Childress goes up because you've got to have some experience as a quarterback's coach to work with Aaron Rodgers for Matt LaFleur, the former Falcon assistant. But I do like what the Dolphins are doing because nobody is going defense.
Yeah.
You know, Fangio, yes, but they're going to do it as like a
split deal.
Although now Kubiak's gone. Who are they going to bring in?
Well, see, that was the thing. That was the other side of this. It is Dukes and Bell, guys.
That's why I'm kind of glad for the flip side that some guys that want Kubiak, I'm glad we locked up Cutter and Mularkey.
Well, yeah, but Kubiak would have given you some stability because he's been a head coach. Even if you thought Vic Fangio wasn't head coach material, but you wanted to bring him in, you know, being a DC, they couldn't do that. Bringing him in laterally, why would you leave the Bears to go be the DC with the Broncos? So you hire him as your head coach, but I thought that there was going to be some stability there with Kubiak, and if you needed it, Mike, he was a guy that you can call on and say, here's how we need to do it. That's not going to be there now. So I don't know a lot about Brian Flores. Here's what I do know. Reports are, obviously, that is the target for New England.
Okay.
People are already cracking jokes saying, oh, New England's coordinators have made great head coaches. Great move, Miami.
Well, other than Nick Saban off of Bill Belichick, and that's for the college ranks, not for the pros, the Nick Saban coaching tree is a stump. Romeo Crennel has accomplished nothing. Josh McDaniels accomplished nothing. Although one playoff win against the Steelers, but then, of course, he was out, you know, less than a year later. It's bizarre that the team that wins in the most easy – that's the most easy division in all of the NFL to win.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not impressed by what the Jets or the Dolphins have done so far. I don't know much about this young man. We're going to find out how he puts his staff together. But the Patriots, the rich get richer. Bill Belichick can play. He can coach at least 90. Who's going to challenge him? When does Buffalo get their house in order? They went to the playoffs last year. They took a step backwards this year.
Don't know. Guy hits me up. He says, Flores is African-American, Dukes. I said minority candidate because we were basically talking about people of color being ignored for these head coaching jobs, and it was something Mike and I were talking about. So, listen, I don't know if that ends up being the hire or not. We'll see, but that's the target. And for me, I think, you know, when we talk about this, I'm curious to see where we're at 2 years from now. You said this. How many of these guys flame out and which guy ultimately takes off? Either this is a new train of thinking, thought process, Mike, and it's going to work, or you're going to see a situation where around the NFL, a lot of owners are going, we made a mistake, and this is not what we want to do again.
But you brought this up earlier, and this was, I mean, this isn't a thing. It's a legitimate concern. You had five African-American coaches who at least got the chance to have a job, and then they got fired.
Right.
And then you bring in all this youth movement, the young thing. Let me throw this at you. Steve Wilks gets fired after 1 year in Arizona.
Right.
Is Cliff Kingsbury going to get 2 years? What if he shows up and it's an absolute disaster? They go 1-15.
Well, this is why I think you have to have guys around your organization who know what the NFL is all about. A new style of doing things or a thought process is one thing. Some guys come in, Mike, you automatically know within a few months, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. And sometimes I've talked to players in the past in the NFL, and I went, when did you know? And he said, well, you know, about the fourth meeting. We realized this guy didn't know what he was doing. But as players, we got to do what we're told. So I think as an organization, I don't know if that was Steve Wilks or not. Maybe he got a raw deal. But you went and drafted allegedly your franchise quarterback. You've got some deficiencies on that team, but you're not going to give him a chance to build it and really give him a shot? Who's winning with the Cardinals right now? You're telling me Kingsbury's going to turn it around? They're going to be an 11-win team next year?
It's about as unfair as being Barquan Manuel. You take your defense to top 10, you get decimated by injuries, and you don't get your contract renewed the next season.
Nice. Let's get to the top three at six.
Time for Dukes and Bell, top three. That's top three stories of the day. Can I count it all?
We're going to get through this fairly quickly, guys, because we want you to hear Calvin Ridley. We got game winner coming up a little bit early. Hawks on tonight at 6:30. First and foremost, Thomas Dimitroff. Entire interview on 92.9thegame.com. Mike, basically, he said today, we may or may not be players as far as the first day of free agency, but listen, we do have a budget, and that concerns you a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, you knew this going in, guys. We didn't have the money to go after the top-tier free agents at guard and tackle, so they're going to have to do it on the budget or combine that with some really well-done drafting from hopefully some guys you can plug in.
Go listen to the interview. Story number two is UGA. We got clarity today with Coach Coley. He is now the OC.
Yeah, Seth Emerson from The Athletic said he did not buy the story about Eddie Grant coming down from Kentucky. Maybe he would have been a running backs coach or some kind of help if there was any kind of deal to be in the offing. But James Coley, who had worked with Chaney up there in the booth over the years, he's got experience at Florida State. Good. Miami, not so good. But a lot of Georgia fans, mixed bag. I'm excited to see what Coley can do. Hopefully make better decisions in those tougher, crucial moments than Chaney did.
If you're just joining us, we talked a lot today about the NFL playoffs. Colts, Chiefs, Cowboys, Rams. That's the Saturday games. Chargers, Patriots, Eagles at Saints. Those are the Sunday games. And story three is simple. Hawks play tonight. They're at Philadelphia, guys. You'll listen to it right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Let's hear from Calvin Ridley, who we got a chance to ask. The first thing was, did you prove this year that you were the best wide receiver coming out of the draft last year?
I feel like I played all right for the Falcons. I could have had a better season, but you know, it really wasn't about proving to be the better one. It's just, you know, trying to play to help the team win, really.
Well, you did that, man, and leading the whole team in touchdowns as Calvin Ridley here joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline. I mean, they talk about, like, rookie wall. Was that a thing? Did you feel it any kind of, like, letdown at some point, or was it all good?
Oh, yeah, I definitely hit a rookie wall. I mean, I really just got tired mentally and body. My body kind of got tired, so I got to find ways, you know, I got to train my body. I got to, you know, take this off season and, you know, get my body right in so it can last for the long. This is a longer season in college. Get my body and mind right.
Well, no doubt. And I think that adjustment happens for a lot of different players as they get into the NFL. We're going to talk to Calvin about what he's doing with the Super Bowl and Pepsi and Kroger in just a second. Calvin, obviously the changes that have happened with our football team and the coaching staff, how do you feel about it? What was your relationship with Sark? Obviously, you know, you made a lot of plays for us, but how does this affect you maybe moving forward?
Yeah, I had a good relationship with Sark. I mean, I can't do nothing about it. At the end of the day, it's a business. And, I mean, the coaches, the Falcons are going to do whatever they think is best for their team, for the team. And I'm excited for a new start again. I mean, I guess it's going to be new plays. I don't know yet. I haven't heard anything. But, yeah, I'm excited. I love football, and I'm ready to get back to work and so we can get our season, our winning season, and make it to the playoffs and do what we have to do. So I'm excited.
Calvin Ridley with us here on Dukes and Bell, man. 12.8 yards per reception. And if you thought you had fun this year with Sark, you're going to love Dirk Cutter. He's all about the vertical passing game, man. So you should have even more fun, maybe even more touchdowns, my man.
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing, man. So, man, I'm pumped. Either way it goes, I'm pumped.
Talk a little bit about what's going on with you and Kroger and obviously Pepsi during this new reveal that's going to happen. Actually, today, I think it gets revealed. Tell our listeners about it.
Yeah, I got a chance to work with Pepsi. I mean, you know, they've been an NFL sponsor for a long time, and it was really, really cool. It was with Kroger and Pepsi. We were surprising fans, lucky fans with their groceries as they came to pick them up, and it turned out to be great, man. They were the fans were really, really surprised that athletes was bringing their groceries to them, and we had a whole band with us, and so it was really, really, really dope. And the reaction of the fans, man, it was hilarious. They all danced. They were so surprised, and it just turned out to be a really, really great day. I had a great time. I had my own little room that I sat in, and it was like real deal. So I really had a good time out there.
You get to see the video, guys. It'll be out coming up today and this weekend as he was bringing Tostitos and Pepsi products and making a whole lot of people happy. All right, Calvin Ridley, I know you can't be happy about what happened in the national championship game. We got to talk about it. You surprised about what happened with Clemson and Bama?
Yeah, I was very, very surprised. I couldn't believe it. I mean, as I was watching, I was like, man, I can't believe it looked like we giving up. I mean, it looked like we weren't trying at all. I didn't understand. I didn't understand.
Well, you just said, really Clemson, now you knew what it's like to beat Clemson, but boy, maybe just Clemson, they had their stuff together, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they, you know, they had a great game plan. They had great players on that side, and honestly, they just played a great game, and, you know, We can't win them all. We work hard to win them all, but you know, next year, you know, we have another chance and another opportunity to, you know, to go ahead and, you know, get another national championship. But it was crazy.
Calvin Ridley, guys, joining us here on Dukes and Bell. So now that the season is over, how much attention are you paying to these playoffs this weekend? Mike and I have been talking about, you know, all the games that are going on. Colts are hot. Chiefs are in it. Obviously, you know, some of these teams you had a chance to play against and see, or do you not watch any of this?
Yeah, I'm definitely watching it. I actually went to the Eagles and Chicago's game, and that one was wild. That one was wild. But, yeah, I'm going to watch the Colts definitely. I think they got a pretty good team. They got something going. And I definitely think the Cowboys are doing really good, too. I think they got something going. So I'm going to be watching all of the teams, yeah.
Now, in this offseason, you got your brother Riley Ridley leaving Georgia, heading to the NFL. I mean, did you give him any advice? It was all his decision, and what do you think about him going to the next level?
Yeah, I gave him a little bit of advice, and I think he's making a great decision. I think he's definitely ready, and I think he's going to definitely prove a lot of people wrong and run fast, and, you know, he's going to do all the right things. But I'm very, very proud of him. I think he's, you know, he's at that point where, you know, it's time. So, and I'm, like I said, I'm very proud of him.
Remember, guys, Calvin Ridley, it's going to be released today. It's click and pick up, and Kroger's the perfect one-stop shop for fans to get ready for game day hosting and tailgating. And you just heard Calvin talk about the fact that once you see the videos and the commercials that are out there of him delivering groceries, but it's easy. It's click and pick up at Kroger along with Pepsi. Hey, Calvin, as we talk about the Falcons, did you see a change in Dan Quinn as the season went along this year and the losing, you know, it persisted when we went on that five-game losing streak? Or was he the same guy throughout?
No, he definitely was the same guy throughout. He always, always, always believed that we were one of the better teams in the NFL. He never, even though we were losing, he just really couldn't. I feel like he just really couldn't figure out, like, why. You know, we got all this talent. You know, we practice good. We practice hard. why can't we finish the games out? So he always believed in us that, you know, always told us that we are the number one, you know, we're a good team. You know, we go out there and fight. We're, you know, one of the baddest teams. So he never doubted us. So I can say he never changed.
Calvin Ridley with us here, guys, on the WaitForIt.com hotline. And that's the thing, man. If everybody stays healthy on the defense, we beef up the offensive line. You see the kind of offense and the kind of points we can score.
Oh, man, we really have it. We honestly have it. I can see it. I see it every day that I was there. And I kind of got frustrated myself with the losing and couldn't understand why we couldn't finish the games either. But, man, I'm ready to be, you know, I want to be a part of a championship, a Super Bowl, you know, playoffs. And that's where I want to be. You know, that's where I think we're going to be next year. So I'm going to work hard to, you know, put myself in a position and help the team any way I can.
Well, Calvin, we're excited about your future. Obviously, we're glad to have you, man. And thanks for being kind and certainly giving Mike and I time whenever we get a chance to see you up there at Flyer Branch during the season. I know it was sometimes frustrating, but we appreciate that, man. And we'll talk to you soon. Thank you again.
Thank y'all.
I mean, the season was frustrating. Now, hopefully not talking to us. It is Dukes and Bell, man, live here at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Before we get to our national signing bonus contest, Carl, real quick, a lot of people have seen stories on the internet. MSN and all these other websites are throwing stuff out there that the one landing spot, even Las Vegas had it on the books today, that the odds-on favorite for Antonio Brown to be traded to would be the Falcons. And the only way that would work is you'd have to send number 11 over there. Julio would have to go to Steelers. And there's no way in God's green earth we're taking on that drama queen. No way.
No, it's not happening. Remember, Julio was up for a bump, which he's going to get. So, listen. I'm not telling you the salaries need to match. This is the NBA. But it's an idiotic thought process to believe that you're going to trade Antonio Brown for Julio Jones for what we are, what we're doing, and what the non-drama situation we have. It's just stupid.
Like I said, there were times on this show over the years where I've said I'd take Antonio Brown because he gets the ball in the end zone. He almost doubles the touchdown output of the last few seasons. Too much drama. How do you quit on your team with the season on the line in Week 17? No thank you.
Hey, man, let's give you a chance to win $1,000 playing our national signing bonus contest.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
There are jokes here, but I'm going to leave it alone. Border. B-O-R-D-E-R. Border.
Border.
B-O-R-D-E-R.
Yes, and you're going to pay for it. Border goes to 72881. Border, guys. Sometimes they show borders on the cuckoo. Border goes to 72881, your last chance this week to win $1,000 in our national signing bonus contest. So go tweet it or text it and be done and win the money, for crying out loud.
Hey, we are out early at 6:30 tonight. Hawks
what?
Are playing the 76ers, which means an early edition of the game winner.
And it's pretty simple. The worst hire ever for your team, college or pro. The worst football coach hire that had you going, what? 404-741-0929. That's our game winner tonight, brought to you by Dukes and Bell. Hey, man.
Hell.
All right, guys, as we're wrapping things up here at Twin Peaks in Buckhead, thanks to all the lovely ladies, all the great job by the servers, and, of course, we still have about this much left in the keg of a Dukes and Bell Hey Man Ale from Oconee Brewing, so come by and help them polish it off. The tonight's question, the worst coach ever for your team, college or pro? The coach that had you going, Hermina, I can't believe we hired this knucklehead.
Well, a lot of Miami fans, and you just tweeted out something very interesting, but a lot of Miami fans are going, who are we hiring? Because apparently the linebackers coach from the Patriots is the guy they want, a guy named Brian Flores. Yeah. So, you know, you may not be aware of him, but Miami Dolphins fans are going, wait a minute, we went from Adam Gase, who gets the Jets job, to who?
To a defensive-minded coach, and not sure what's going on there. They've struggled with the general managers over the years in Miami. So who's the worst coach you've ever had hired? You could take it anywhere you want to go. When I was a kid, we had Ray Perkins with the Giants.
Ooh,
now,
yeah.
Ray good, you know, maybe not so good in Alabama either, but that was what my dad's like sitting going, I really think if I could find the face to do the thing on the doll, we're gonna burn Ray Perkins in effigy in the parking lot at the tailgate at the Meadowlands. So that was ours, Ray Perkins with the Giants. Who's your worst?
Being a Texas fan, obviously, and then going there, Texas, David Williams was the guy. Now, if you don't remember
him, after Darrell Royal,
correct, and he came in.
you know, again, whenever you follow a legend, it's always tough. Right?
Don't be the guy who follows him. Be the guy after the guy, right?
David McWilliams was the guy, but then, you know, you had Coach Mac, not Mac Brown. You had John Makovic, who was the guy that was there when I was there, and then Mac Brown came in, but, yeah, he was not great.
I got here and I heard stories about Bill Lewis at Georgia Tech and how the whole thing just went off the rails after Bobby Ross left. Let's see what you guys have to say. 404-741-0929. College or pro football, the worst coaching hire ever. What you got?
Hey, man.
Yo, what's going on, man? So I'm a Texas A&M grad, so I got to go with Dennis Francione, man. My first memory of the Texas A&M football team, 77-0 loss to Oklahoma. Come on, man.
Good call. Yeah, Coach Fran. And by the way, Coach Fran made a lot of dough, man.
Alabama guy. Yeah, I mean, yes. He was making loot.
He made a lot of money.
He got TCU rolling, though, didn't he?
Yeah, he
back
sucked
in the day.
At A&M, though. He's right.
Hey, man, you're on the radio. Worst coaching hire for your school or team. What you got?
Hello?
Hey, man.
Hey, man. Hey, man. We coming out of Wisconsin, the worst coach I've seen was Green Bay Packers coach Mike Sherman right before Mike McCarthy.
And Mike Sherman wound up at Texas A&M.
Yes, he did.
And
yes,
could,
he did.
Yeah, holy cow. You're on the radio, bro. What do you got? Where's hire for your team?
Yeah. Hey, I saw you back in the late 50s. Maybe it was the 80s when the Falcons rehired the Swamp Fox, Marion Campbell. Bang.
Bo Box still complains about that. I can't believe the freaking Falcons. Hey, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for us? Where's coaching hire, college or pro?
All right, worst coach pro for me got to be Chip Kelly for the Philadelphia Eagles. Destroyed us. Ripped us apart.
Now,
man.
I mean, I will say this, though. They do say, at least they've said in the Sports Illustrated article I read, he did help get them their conditioning better, Carl, because they were going up tempo.
You know what's crazy?
Peterson actually did say they were in the better shape. Thanks. One thing was positive from Chip Kelly.
But then they rebound and win a dang Super Bowl.
Right, right. Unfortunately, Shady McCoy's got to watch it on TV. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for the worst coaching hire?
When the Atlanta Hawks hired Lon Kruger. Sound like a guy out of a scary movie.
Lon Kruger.
You know, Carl, I could do a really good Lon Kruger impression. Problem was, we didn't put the ball in the basket.
We had Coach Kruger on a couple of years ago.
He's done pretty
good
at Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. Worst coaching hire, college or pro? What you got?
Mike and Carl, how you guys doing?
Good.
What's up, man?
I got another Ray for you, Mike. Ray Hanley after Parcells left.
Ray Hanley was the guy that was considered the player's coach, and after Bill Parcells was the Bill Parcells and the discipline and all that and the weirdness, that Ray Hanley would be the best thing. He lasted two seasons.
Yeah, not a good selection.
Hey, man, and he never coached again.
Yeah,
that's
he was done.
The weird
that's right.
thing about that. You're on the radio, bro. Worst coaching hire, college or pro for your team?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
I got two of them, Al Golden and Nick Saban.
Whoa.
Dolphins.
Oh, yeah, he's right. I was like, wait a minute. What? Yes, he's right. Golden was terrible.
Yeah, man.
And, yeah, Saban's running.
I'm
going to
go
Dolphins.
With, Dave wants that with the Dolphins, man. Ooh. He was a hot mess. You're on the radio, bro. What do you got? Worst hire?
Gus Malzahn, Auburn.
Oof. Well, you're paying
still
him,
there.
Pal.
He's still there.
Hey, man, we got one left. You're on the radio, bro. What do you got? I said, what you got?
Yep.
I said, what you got? You're on line three. Hey, man, what do you got? Worst coaching hire?
Hey, man.
Yes, sir. Go
Please
ahead.
Please go, for the love of God.
Mike Shula in Alabama. God, what?
Yeah.
Now, I will say this. He did, get to a bowl game and won it. David Shula was the answer we were looking for. Worst coach ever with the Bengals. All right, let's clear our throats. Get the hell out of here, Carl Dukes.
Dukes and Bell are wrapping up another show. So it's time for...
Shula's terrible. Hey, thanks to our guests today here at Twin Peaks. Thanks to all the folks at Twin Peaks for coming out and hanging out with us Monday. We are on location at the training facility for Atlanta United. But guys, we're talking plenty of football coming off the weekend. There are more hires and things that will happen. And, of course, we're talking about the games. Mike Bell, what you got to clear your throat, man?
Pretty simple, man. The hiring process, so strange. Everybody going with the youth movement. I get it. Everybody wants to capture that Rams juice, the high-flying offense, put fannies in the seats, get the young, compelling coach. Sometimes you got to go with the old farts. They've been around, and sometimes the guys that may be of color who've been around, too.
Hawks basketball on the way, guys. They are playing the 76ers tonight. You'll hear it right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You can never have buyer's remorse, can you? The Falcons, if they would have waited just a little bit longer, maybe they would have had an opportunity to talk to Gary Kubiak. We find out today that Kubiak will not be the offensive coordinator with the Denver Broncos. A little bit surprising, a little bit shocking, but at the end of the day, you've got to go with what's right there in front of you. And right now,
right.
It was Dirk Cutter, it was Mike Mularkey. Those are the guys that Dan Quinn wanted, and I think Matt Ryan wanted. With that said, though, now that Kubiak is allegedly available again, doesn't it make you think twice?
Well, you know what? We got two guys that Matt Ryan is comfortable with, and the last time I checked, he never played with Gary Kubiak.
No, he never did.
I think our offense could be a little bit different, Carl. Might be a little more power slash zone blocking.
Hey, man, we appreciate you guys. Thanks for listening. Be safe this weekend. We'll be back on Monday starting at 2. If you love the show,
you tell your friends.
If you don't,
no, hey man, for you, tough guy.